independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is a worst-case scenario for Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Two more senators have announced that they also cannot support the Senate version of health care reform. That is Senator Jerry Moran of Kansas and Senator Mike Lee of Utah. That brings the number of four Republican senators who say they cannot support this bill. That is not enough for Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to even get this bill to the floor, much less get it passed.
Dead! That's kind of what it is. Dead. This thing's dead, dead, dead. And it's not going anywhere. Mitch McConnell, the Republicans, they dropped the ball. Lots and lots of time they had. Lots and lots of time they had. More and more time they had. They played offense. They played games. They BS'd. But you know what they didn't do? They didn't get it did. They did not get it did. It's over. It's done, at least for the time being. What you have today is what you will have tomorrow. What you have tomorrow, you will have 6 months from now. This is kind of the world we're living in it at this moment in time. Is it sustainable long term? No. But Mitch McConnell and the rest of them couldn't come up with a working solution to sort this out. So now they have to go back to the drawing board. What they're going to do at that drawing board, I could not tell you.
This task would not be easy. We understood it would not come quickly, but we knew that it was the right thing to do, so we pushed forward. I believe we must continue to push forward now.
Yeah, continue to push forward now. But I don't even know what that means. Of course we're going to continue to push forward, but what does it mean? Oh, well, it's going to mean we're going to continue to work. Work on what? Obamacare is a big steaming pile of that's costing taxpayers, that didn't do what it said it was going to do. It did insure more people, but all we did was gave them free insurance. It's not really insuring anybody. I mean, we could go and say, it's time for single payer and everybody gets insurance. And that's not really insuring more people. That's just handing out free stuff. You can go to a baseball game, right? And they could say, look, you know, we got 20,000 tickets left. We'll just give them out to people. And you could say it's a sellout, but not really a sellout because those people didn't buy tickets. They were handed tickets. That's a different story. It may have insured more people, but the taxpayers helped insure those people. Taxpayers also helped cover the failures in Obamacare when it came to bailing out a lot of these healthcare companies that were struggling because they know. You gave people who were potentially sick and or are sick and you handed them healthcare. What do you think they were going to do? They were going to use it. They knew they were losing money right away, but they were also promised all these people are going to join. They're going to be forced to join. And man, is it going to be great for you guys? And that's going to even everything out because this vast pool of healthy people are going to be coming into the marketplace and they're going to be doing it in such a way that it's going to cover everything. And we're going to allow people to stay on their insurance till 26. So that was a vast amount of people that were not going to be on there who will be healthy. Okay, so that's great. But we're going to allow people to stay on there. Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was a pipe dream and a way for them to grab a hold of, yes, healthcare, 1/6 of the economy. Boom. Now they're in and they're not leaving. They're not going anywhere. It's the first step of what will be a long process over the next several years that leads to a single payer system in this country. It's coming. Get ready for it. And the gap between the well-to-do and the do not have a lot is going to grow when healthcare becomes freely expensive, as I call it, for a lot of us. And it's frustrating. And the marketplace is a mess. There are going to be people that are going to be struggling to get health care. There are going to be people where they're going to look and they're going to find they have one health care provider. And in places like Ohio, they're going to find they have certain places they have no health care providers. Something has to be done. Congress felt it did its job.
We passed a bill to repeal and replace Obamacare, to replace it with a better system. But as you well know, the legislative process for it to work, the Senate's got to pass a bill for us to even move the process forward. That's the next step.
That's the next step. Well, guess what? That step has come to an end. And now we have to look around and go, how do we fix this thing? If we're not going to get a repeal, this is where pride, and I mean this on both sides, right? The Democrats do not want this thing repealed because it is the lasting legacy of President Obama. And if this is gone, it's all gone as far as they're concerned. There's no legacy. So what do you do? You don't have to do a lot because the Republicans struggled along the way because you have an entitlement program that people don't want to give back. Because when you hand people a bunch of stuff, the last thing they do is want to give it back. Think about this. You're a child, right? You see your child. Your child plays with a toy. After a while, he stops playing with the toy. The toy's always sitting there. Playdate comes over for the child. He picks up that toy. She picks up that toy. Your child wants that toy even though they haven't touched it in 6 months. They want it. They're not going to let it go. That's kind of what this is. It isn't going anywhere at all. And this is what we're stuck with, at least for the time being. But we know where we're going. Don't pretend you don't know where we're going. We are going to a single-payer system. Doesn't mean everybody's going to be on the same system, because if you have means or you have an employer, you're going to have a chance to have better health care than everybody else who decides they want to be on the government system of the single payer. But while you're paying for that and your employer is paying for some, guess what? Your taxes are going to be rising, so you're going to be double dipped. That ain't good. That's not good at all. But now we look over and we say, okay, Democrats, so you felt we kept you out of this, but you didn't really want to participate because it's all about pride. Our pride wants to get rid of Obamacare. Your pride, you want to keep it. We don't really care about the people because it's about a victory for us or a loss for us and vice versa, and that's stupid. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know this. As customers, we need to be treated better, and we need a solution to this problem. Rising cost of health care. We're getting further and further away from our health care provider, our doctor, our nurse's assistant, our nurse, whatever it is that we're dealing with. We're getting further and further away from them. And we spend more time filling out forms and doing crap. In a world of technology, it should be easier, but it's getting more difficult. And more people are being added on to stuff to deal with your paperwork. And that's ridiculous. Too many administrators, not enough healthcare people. Too many people who need to know your name, your address, your insurance provider, while they sit in there and key in a bunch of crap, and not enough people that are saying, tell me what's wrong with you. Tell me. Tell me what's going on. President Trump spoke today. This is what he had to say.
Let Obamacare fail, and then everybody's going to have to come together and fix it. And come up with a new plan, and a plan that's really good for the people with much lower premiums, much lower costs.
We'll find out. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if they're going to be able to come together. I don't know if they're going to be able to set their pride aside and join forces to try to fix something, because the Democrats all along have wanted a single-payer system. That's the one thing they want. You control health care, 1/6 of the economy, and you get everybody insured and everybody feeling good about themselves, even though you'll find out later on down the road, see VA hospital, that it's not all it's cracked up to be. And people are going to come to you because, once again, they're feeding at the teat of the United States government. And that is what the Democrats have always dreamed of. Not self-reliance, not perseverance, not thriving, but just surviving, and the government being the one that you're surviving with. They don't want any. So this has always been their thing. Can they put aside this and come together and come up with something? I don't know, because I don't know if they want to. It's a big pile of hot mess on the side of your sidewalk right now, and the Republicans have stepped in to something the Democrats left there, and it's now getting all over your driveway, and it's frustrating you, and it's frustrating me, and it smells, and it's horrible, and this is kind of where we are at this moment in time. I do love what Trump had to say, not only about the Republicans, but just about himself and you know, how he feels about what this does to him.
There's some other things going on right now as we speak, but I am disappointed because for so many years I've been hearing repeal and replace. I'm sitting in the Oval Office, pen in hand, waiting to sign something.
Yeah, waiting to sign something that you're not going to be able to sign.
I'm not going to own it. I can tell you the Republicans are not going to own it. We'll let Obamacare fail, and then the Democrats are going to come to us, and they're going to say, how do we fix it? How do we fix it? Or how do we come up with a new plan?
I don't know if they're going to come up with a new plan, but I tell you what, as far as the owning it, I'm with him. I can look at the Republicans and I can say, you guys own this. But as far as Trump, no, I don't think so. You can't. This wasn't your thing. This wasn't your thing. You're the president. You need to be out there working it. You need to do all you possibly can to help get this thing done. But as far as owning it, I look right at the Republican leadership across the board. House, the Senate, I'm looking at you, Rand Paul, I'm looking at you, Mitch McConnell, I'm looking at a lot of you else out there, the moderates and the people who want it to just repeal the hell out of it, just go back to everybody's on their own kind of feel. We need to sit down and have a talk. I'm looking at a lot of people out there saying, you know, this on you. It ain't on that guy. He got a lot of other issues, but this ain't one. This ain't one. Hey, if you're hiring right now, that's fantastic. It's a good thing. Business is hopefully booming, but you're having an issue. And that issue isn't finding customers. It's finding the right qualified candidate to work with inside of your company. Doesn't matter how big your company is. Small, large, massive, ZipRecruiter is going to help you find that qualified candidate. And they work with all sizes of business. One single click and boom, 100-plus job sites. There is your job. This is where ZipRecruiter separates itself from everybody else. They have powerful technology that will help, that will actually help find the right person for your job. It matches it. Man, it's crazy. It doesn't, it's like a lot of these other job sites, they go out there and you post your job and then you hope somebody wanders by and finds it. With ZipRecruiter's technology, it's the exact opposite. They're actively looking to find the qualified candidate for your job. In fact, within the first 24 hours, over 80% of jobs find qualified candidates. Think about that. You don't have to worry about juggling emails, calls, or any of that stuff because we know time is money. They've got an easy-to-use dashboard with ZipRecruiter. You can easily rate the candidate and, boom, find that qualified candidate, then hire that qualified candidate. This is what I want you to do right now. Free to post your job today. All you have to do is go to ZipRecruiter.com/Benson. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Benson. Post your job for free today. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Benson. Find out why ZipRecruiter works so well. You will be happy you did. And this time tomorrow, you may have that qualified candidate that is going to help your job, your company tremendously. ZipRecruiter.com/Benson. Post your job for free today. Chad Benson Show.
Giving the First Amendment a run for its money. This is the Chad Benson Show.
Wow, 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 wow. Do you see what China has done? I found this really interesting because I love science and technology, and I think that the more that we meld the two together, the better it's going to be. But then you sometimes start wondering, whoa, wait a minute here. Are we going to play the God Frankenstein-like issues, you know, where we're going to say, well, could we do this? Can we bring back this? Can we do this? And you start asking when you start talking about changing species or doing things with them. And China has created a dog. They've took like this whippet, this Canadian whippet. And I don't know if you've seen this thing, but they have turned this thing into a beast. It looks like a cartoon. It does not look real. When you're ever on the internet and you see like the guy with no teeth or the woman, you should see what she looks like now, or those crazy pictures. It looks like one of those. It doesn't look real. It's got like massive arms. Imagine putting like a bodybuilder's arms and chest on like a greyhound. It looks weird, but that's what they've done. And their whole thought process is they want to create super creatures and eventually potentially create super kids. And that's where I get, you know what, as an adult, if you come and you say, I would like to, you know, have an opportunity to, you know, put a chip inside your brain that will allow you to access all of your brain at once. We access 100% of our brain, but we don't use it all at once. But I will allow you to access all of that and to improve your life tremendously and to, you know, to give you instant brilliance. Yeah, that's one thing. But to genetically engineer, and that's where we're headed with kids, with eyes. You know, I want a kid with blue eyes. I want a kid with – we're headed in that designer baby area faster. But the thought process of making monsters, if you will, that's uncomfortable. That, to me, that's where I draw a line at some things. And that's one of them. That's one of them. And if you haven't seen this dog, I'm going to post a picture of it. It is – It's Frankenscience is what it is. That's the best way to say it. It's Frankenscience. And it looks like, it almost looks like a cartoon dog. Remember when you used to watch those cartoons and Bugs Bunny would say, it's just a little dog. And you look around the corner and there's this massive dog where, you know, it almost walks on its knuckles. That's kind of what it's like. It's freakish looking. I'll throw it on the Facebook and the Twitter account. You could text the program 323-538-2423. O.J. Simpson potentially could be out of jail if his parole hearing this week goes well. Joining us next, Steve Gregory from KFI in Los Angeles is going to join us to talk about it. He's going to be one of the radio people, in fact, the only radio pool porter inside of the parole hearing. We're going to break it down from top to bottom. Chances of him getting out, all of that stuff. As we break down the first reality star in the modern era, O.J. Simpson and his parole hearing. Straight ahead, Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The juice may get loose. Possibility. Joining us now is national correspondent from iHeartMedia, KFI Los Angeles, Steve Gregory. And Steve's going to be inside. Now, Steve, are you going to be inside the room where the parole board is going to be?
Yes, that's where I'll be. I'll be the radio pool representative in the commission room in Carson City, Nevada, while O.J. Simpson will be in a meeting room at the Lovelock Correctional Facility up in Lovelock, Nevada. So that'll be like 35 miles northeast of Carson City.
So how many people are on the panel? Is it three people on the panel? Is it several people on the panel?
There'll be four people on the panel in Carson City with three panelists on standby in Las Vegas. Now, the reason they do that is in the event that the four-member panel comes into sort of a split decision, that has to be unanimous. If there's some sort of a split decision, they are in the they're kind of within their right to call on those three other standby members down in Las Vegas, and then they get to dial in and hear the hearing. They won't be linked up to O.J. Simpson by video link like the four members will be in Carson City, so they'll get to hear the hearing by phone, and then they get to also weigh in, and then they got to see if they're going to have to at least have a minimum of four unanimous decisions.
Talking to Steve Gregory, national correspondent, iHeartMedia, KFI Los Angeles. He's out there in beautiful Carson City getting ready for the O.J. parole hearing. So, we've read a lot of stuff about O.J. through the years and the prison that he's at. He's supposedly a model citizen, and, you know, they 12 is bad, kind of the rating scale, and 1 is good. They say he's around a 2, which bodes well for him. And he's going to have people coming in, including the guy that he was convicted of in this crime is going to come in. The victim is going to speak for him. Where do they speak at? Are they going to be in Carson with you? Or are they going to be on Skype somewhere?
They'll be in Carson City. They'll all have to be in Carson City. That is sort of ground zero for the entire event. And Carson City is, you know, obviously the state capital. That's where the state buildings and the complexes are. They're all coming there. So Simpson may have an attorney with him at the Lovelock facility. They usually don't know till the day of, but he's also entitled to have a representative at the Carson City location, and also victims and their representatives are entitled to be at the proceedings in Carson City. And then there had been a lot of speculation of whether or not Fred Goldman might actually show up, because people may not remember Fred Goldman, the father of Ron Goldman, who was murdered along with Nicole Brown Simpson many years ago. And Fred Goldman's been an advocate of keeping O.J. in prison. So, but he will not be up there. He's not entitled to be even in the room.
Yeah, and whatever happened before, this is just based on the crime that took place that night in Las Vegas. Anything else has no bearing on this parole. Is that correct?
Correct. And there has been a lot of speculation as to the media attention to this, because I don't know if a lot of people realize, but Simpson was up for parole in 2013, because that was the absolute soonest he was eligible for parole. Now, I remember, because I covered the trial in Las Vegas, I was there for 2 months, and I remember the district attorney, David Roger, telling us he will never be paroled first time out. Nevada typically never paroles people first time out. So there was not a lot of attention in 2013. But now, because there is such a big chance that he's going to be released on parole, this media attention now has completely exploded. Simpson believes, and he's said it through some surrogates, that he believes now that media attention is going to hurt his chances, and it's going to influence the panel, because a lot of people still think that he's paying the price now for the crime he was, you know, was convicted, or rather acquitted of, many years ago. People are thinking that he's deserves to stay in prison.
You know, it's funny, talking to Steve Gregory, a national correspondent, iHeartMedia and KFI AM Los Angeles, who's out there in Carson City covering the parole hearing for OJ. I had several people text me this morning say, I didn't even know he was in jail for something else in Las Vegas and what took place, because a lot of people still think in some way, shape, or form that this is because of the Nicole Brown Simpson and the Ron Goldman trial. No, this is a separate thing that took place where he barged in basically and held some people at gunpoint trying to get back memorabilia, you know, kind of, you know, make it, you know, keep it simple, stupid. That's what it was. And now he is up for parole the second time, and it looks pretty good, like he's going to get out. But if he does get paroled, he doesn't get out, right, Steve, until October?
Right. He is eligible. The soonest he would be able to get out, his eligibility would be October 1st. So if for some reason there's still an issue or a problem, at least he's eligible October 1st to get out. Now, if for some reason that he does not get parole and he's not granted that release, then it could be 1 to 3 years before his case is heard again.
What's the media attention like? I mean, you're going to be there, and you're one of three, right, that are going to be inside of the room?
Right. I am, like you said, I'm the radio pool representative, and there'll be a television pool representative and a print pool representative. Now, the three of us will get to sit inside of this room. I've never been inside of there, but it's very small, I'm told. And this is where the panelists will sit, the commissioners. And then we'll see a monitor, and we will see Simpson by video link up at Lovelock Prison. And then we'll sit there and watch this process happen. We're told it could take 20 to 30 minutes, and then they'll break, and then the commission will go off into another room, and then they will sort of go back and forth about it, because we will get a decision that day, we're told, because of the attention. Yeah, well, and it's unusual, though, Chad, because typically the inmates have to wait, you know, another few weeks or so to find out the fate. And in this case, because of all of the undue publicity and all of the high-profile nature of this, the state decided it was in the best interest of the parole process to make the decision that day and be done with it.
Well, that right there is good. And I wonder, do you think it is going to hurt him if he's worried about the publicity? Do you think it is going to hurt him? Do you think it's going to help him?
I can't say either way, because I don't know anything about these commissioners. I've read up a little bit on them, and they're all correctional, they're all career correctional people. Presumably, you know, they all swore an oath that they have to take everything at face value. And just as you mentioned before, they understand that they are there to give him a chance to be released based on his performance in prison, his behavior, and the crimes that were committed. And as you mentioned before, Nevada happens to be one of those states where kidnapping, and then with the addition of a weapon in the room. Now, OJ was never in possession of a weapon, and he never held a weapon. It was one of his cohorts. But the fact that the weapon was in the room, they held these people against their will, and that he was there to, quote unquote, steal his stuff back. Nevada was pretty brutal on that. Nevada's one of the bad places. If you were going to commit kidnapping, don't do it in Nevada, because that is a brutal state when it comes to sentencing for that. That said,
okay, good, because that was on my bucket list. That was on my bucket list to do. But
well, I wanted to give you a little heads up. That's something I did learn while covering the trial, that kidnapping there is a very, it's heinous in the state of Nevada. It doesn't matter if it's if there's a weapon involved or not, but there's, of course, an enhancement when a weapon's involved. But in this case, with OJ and the commission, they have to treat him just like anybody else, just like any other inmate, regardless of outside attention. And you know that all of these commissioners are aware of who he is, what he's been accused of in the past, his publicity, all of his misdoings or his misgivings. They know all of that, but they have to sit in that room. They also have to take into consideration the reports from inside of the prison, the warden and the people who deal with them on a daily basis. And they have to get a report from all of the different types of departments within the correctional facility to find out just what kind of a guy he is. And they take that all into consideration, and then they'll level the decision. But I guess the short answer to what you were asking before is I don't suspect any of that's going to have any impact on the decision, any of the outside publicity.
Last question. I know you're busy today. There were other people with O.J. that night. He burst in there. What happened to them? Because I've heard stories that, look, O.J. got really hammered compared to everybody else. And there was a little scratching of the head by his attorneys and even other people that were involved in that case.
Right. And, that's an interesting question, because I remember that, the co-defendant at the time, his buddy that was in there with him, he ended up getting out on an appeal through the state Supreme Court. He was able to have his conviction overturned and was released early because he was able to argue that basically his sentence, his conviction and sentence was based on guilt by association. And because of O.J. Simpson's, huge high-profile nature, that he suffered at the hands of that profile. And his crime, because he was just standing in the room. I remember that guy was just standing there. He didn't really do anything. He just kind of stood there, but he got popped for it as well. The rest of them, they all basically turned state's evidence. They all, they basically testified against him. They offered information. And the other three, I believe there are four others in the room besides Simpson. And other than the one co-defendant, the others were released. They were given probation, and they never saw – I don't think they saw that much time in jail at all. In fact, the time that they were in jail, it was just quick in the Las Vegas Clark County Jail, and that was it.
Man, they crushed the juice. That's not cool, Steve.
Well,
crushed the juice.
That Simpson has been trying for some time, and he's gone through so many attorneys. They've been trying to argue with the state Supreme Court that because of the publicity from the murder trial – that he was never able to get a fair trial, and that, that they didn't have the right proportion of African-Americans on the jury in Las Vegas. They didn't. They tried everything they could to overturn his conviction and use that slant that they were all biased against him because they wanted him to pay the price for his acquittal from the murder trial. And that's been their argument all along, but they've had no court be able – no court or no judge or magistrate has bought the argument.
His name is Steve Gregory. He's national correspondent, iHeartMedia, KFI AM Los Angeles. I love your work. Fantastic. And we appreciate you coming on today, Steve.
Anytime, Chad. We'll talk again soon. Take care now.
Thanks so much. Look, you know what? It's crazy. And I've said it. It was the first reality TV show that you can sit there and really remember from top to bottom the craziness of what was going on there, what people were talking about the next day, and the social media world wasn't even there. Imagine what it would be like today. But this is the first glimpse in over the next couple of days of what the potential could be, and I'm waiting. Who's getting the first interview, and what is he getting for that? And remember, the Goldmans still have they went out and they sued him, and they have a civil case that they won. They have a judgment against him. So if he's making money, he's going to be collecting. They're going to be collecting that money, but he has a trust that pays him about $20,000 a month for his NFL pension. that he's going to be sitting on that he probably hasn't touched very much of over the last 9-10 years in prison that's probably worth about $2 million just from him being gone. So it's not like OJ's coming out to nothing, but you know somebody's going to pay big for the opportunity to interview OJ. Crazy. Crazy. OJ getting out sooner rather than later. I look at the whole OJ thing, and again, he's the first reality TV star in our history, I think, in a way that really put it on the map. And think about how big OJ was and the fact that there was no social media. Zero social media. Think about what it would be like today. It would be so massive. I would say the same thing. Think about what Bill Clinton went through. What would it be like with social media today? It would be never-ending bombarding of stuff. And he's going to get out sooner rather than later. And I have a feeling it's going to be this October. And it's just a bizarre, weird thing that, you know, 20-plus years later, people still talk about it. This year, because of all of the towards the end of last year, because of the documentary, and then of course the how many of those Golden Globes did it win for The People versus O.J. Simpson? It was just brought back to everybody's attention, and now it's again front and center. And the 70-year-old Jay Simpson is going to roll out. And if we think about this, this isn't just an icon from back in the day that did something. This was a massive hero for a lot of people, who was a superstar, a Hall of Famer, who was acquitted of double murder and then convicted of kidnapping and has spent many years in jail and is now coming out to a world that has changed completely. And there's going to be some fanfare and there's going to be a lot of people paying attention to this and there's going to be a reality show. Mark my words. The Chad Benson Show is your Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com, chat at ChadBensonShow.com. Wrap it up straight ahead and find out what we learned today, kids. What we learned straight ahead. Chad Benson Show.
No need to sit there foaming at the mouth. Jump in and get whatever off your chest. Call Chad at 844-344-2423. That's 844-DIG-CHAD. Woo, now doesn't that feel better?
Congress needs to step up. Congress needs to do their job. And Congress needs to do their job now.
That's Mike Pence. He's vice president, for those of you not keeping score. That was his angry tone. Gosh, golly, willigers, you guys, you jerks. People are like, what's wrong with this guy? He kind of got off the rails. Congress didn't do his job, but that's okay because according to the last 164 years, if they've kept a scorecard, this is the worst, most unproductive Congress in 164 years. So let's hear for them. Congratulations. You guys are fantastic. You are doing you're doing the Lord's work here. Not very well, but you're doing the Lord's work. Healthcare not done today. Don't care about Russia. Let's talk a little bit about what we learned today on the Chad Benson Show, because the more you know, then you know. Healthcare not getting did. Period. There was yet another person in the meeting with Don Jr. This makes it the 475th million person that has emerged from behind the curtain. And still, I don't care. I don't. OJ may be free. Oh, yes, kids. We learned OJ may be free, which is interesting because the reality TV world that we live in could be huge. Could be huge. Lewis said, hey, we could put them together, him, Rob Kardashian, we could Black China, right? That's Rob's girl, I believe, was her name, and that's baby mama. You got the Kardashians in there. You can bring Khloe over because Khloe, isn't that the one they say is that's the one that is OJ's daughter? is of all of them. You got to bring Caitlyn Jenner into the thing, right? So we learn that the craziness is going to go on. That the Chinese have actually engineered a dog, of which I've posted on Facebook. Go like the Facebook Chad Benson Show and see it. It is a beast. It does not look like a dog. It looks like something that somebody photoshopped. I don't know why anybody would want to have a pet like that, other than just to scare the crap out of everybody else. And that superheroes are saving the movie industry. Hey, kids, we taught you all kinds of stuff today. That's what we do. We infotain you. That's what we're all about. And as we, you know, we're all fortunate. I'm very blessed. I've got a healthy youngster. And my man Mason's listening out there. He's in Indy at WIBC listening, and he is going through hell and then some, fighting a dreaded disease called cancer right now. Just had his birthday over this past week. And Mason, fight hard, man. Fight hard. That's what you got to do. Lots of people counting on you, and you know what? It sucks, but you're going to come out of this on the other side better for it and fight hard. It's a horrible, nasty, dreaded disease that does not care about the color of your skin, does not care about the money you have or don't have, doesn't care about anything, but you are going to beat this, and when you come out the other side, you're going to be better for it. Go like us across all social media, you know, that all that stuff, Chad Benson Show. You can follow along with us at the old tweeter. We like it when you do stuff like that. And thank Michelle Malkin for coming in and on the show today, and Steve Gregory as well. You can check out the podcast. Go to ChadBensonShow.com. Grab yourself your podcast there. Love it when you do, kids. Love it when you do. Want to thank Luis for sitting in for our man Phil, who's been on a little vacay. Thank you so very much, my man. Appreciate that. Have you guys a safe, wonderful night. We'll get you over the hump tomorrow. As always, we bid you adieu. Night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.